And now if you will open your Bibles this morning to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're jumping back into our study of 1 Thessalonians. And in chapter 4, I'll be reading the first three verses. Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you received from us how you ought to walk and to please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you once again this morning for the opportunity to gather together in your house as a body of believers with one heart and one mind, Lord, and that's to honor you. Lord, we just, as we look ahead to this passage, talking about our sanctification, Lord, we just pray that you would give Pastor Craig the words to say, Lord, and just give him peace of mind and allow the Holy Spirit to speak through him. We just pray that our hearts and minds would be affected deeply by it and that we would make necessary changes in our own lives so that we would walk more faithfully to you, Lord. We just give this time over to you, and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, Ron, and thank you, music team. Great song selection. That song, Oceans, is one of my new favorites. Little bit of a learning curve to it, but once you get it, you will fall in love with it. Just fair warning, I guess. Next week's lesson is going to revolve around sexual immorality. And that's kind of where Ron concluded there, and I kind of had him stop mid-thought for a purpose, and you'll see why in a minute. But anyway, I'm telling you that because I know some of you parents keep some of your kids in, and I'm talking about the little ones, okay? But anyway, fair warning, it's not that it's going to be rated R or anything like that. I'm not going to say anything inappropriate. However, if you don't want to explain some things next week, you may send them over to junior church. It's completely up to you. But anyway, all of that to say, today's focus is going to be on sanctification. And we'll continue in the rest of this passage, Lord willing, next week. But we read, or Ron read, for this is the will of God. This is the will of God, your sanctification. And as I worked my way through this passage, I came to that word sanctification, and I knew that I would want to define it in the context of our passage so that we could know best what Paul is talking about here and what God's will is concerning our sanctification. But as I began defining the word, I found myself having to explain how the word is used elsewhere in Scripture. And before I knew it, I had a complete sermon outline. So that's what you're getting this morning, okay? That's what you're getting. We're going to spend our morning kind of departing from our series here in 1 Thessalonians, but focusing on the topic of sanctification. Specifically, we're going to look at the varying ways that it is used of believers in Scripture today. Maybe this word is new to you. Maybe you've heard it lots of times before. Maybe you understand what it means. Maybe you don't. But I guess that's my point. I want to clarify what we're talking about here. That word sanctify or sanctification actually speaks of something that is clean, righteous, and holy. Okay, that's what the word talks about. Something that is clean, righteous, and holy. And in Scripture, we find places where you and I, as believers, are deemed clean, righteous, and holy. In God's eyes, that is how He sees us. We are sanctified. But we also find places like verse 3 here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 where it appears that he's telling us to be clean, righteous, and holy. And then we also find places in Scripture where believers are told that they will one day be clean, righteous, and holy. So the question is, which is it? Are we already sanctified? Should we strive to be sanctified? Or will we one day be sanctified? And the answer is yes. The answer is yes, okay? All three are true, and it has to do with the tense that the word is being used in, okay? I would imagine that many of you, like me, have been reading your Bible, and all of a sudden you come upon a passage of Scripture that just it contradicts what you know to be true. At least it appears to contradict that. You don't have to turn there, but let me read one to you. It's Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, where it says, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." And perhaps you, like me, thought, well, wait a minute. I thought I was already saved. I thought it was something that I shouldn't work for. And here I'm reading that I should work it out. Now, what that is talking about is, as we look at it in Scripture, we will find that that word, or the word saved, is actually being used in the present tense. So what it's actually telling us is that now that you are saved, live it out in your lives. Work it out. Demonstrate your salvation, okay? That's what God wants us to do. That's the tense of the word being used there. I'll illustrate it this way. On my birth certificate, it says that I am male in gender, a man, okay? However, I remember when I was young, my dad at times telling me, be a man. I thought I already was, right? You're getting what I'm talking about. Now here I am at 51 years old, and I think I'm finally there, all right? But one word, one meaning, three different tenses of the word. And so it is with sanctification, okay? One word, one meaning, three different tenses. And so that you and I might better distinguish these tenses as we come upon them in Scripture, we're going to take a few minutes this morning and kind of label and define the tenses of that word. And I'll just tell you that when I first learned this distinction, it was very, very helpful to me in understanding what these different passages were telling me. And I'm going through it today because there is a very specific tense that Paul is dealing with as we continue on in this passage, Lord willing, next week. But our subject this morning is your sanctification. And again, the word speaks of something that is clean, righteous, and holy. And while the word will not appear in every verse we look at this morning, the idea of sanctification will. And using 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3 as our jump-off point, let's look at these tenses of sanctification. Here's the first, and we're going to label it positional sanctification. Positional sanctification. Positional sanctification is who we are in Christ. Positional sanctification is who we are in Christ. It is a position, a title, really, that we are graciously given by God. And with that, let's go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Let me read you a few verses here. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and beginning in verse 9. It says there, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning with verse 9, it says, if you haven't found it, just go ahead and listen. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And here's the part I really want you to hear. Verse 11, and such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. This is a position that you and I have been given because we trusted in Jesus Christ. It's a gift graciously given by God. Yes, we were sinners, but now we are deemed clean, righteous, and holy in the eyes of God. That is our position. It was when my daughter first got her job at Subway Sandwiches that I realized, I learned about the titles that they give their employees there, okay? When she first started, she was given the title of sandwich artist. Every new employee, that's their title. They become a sandwich artist. And then after you've been there, after she'd been there for a while, she was given the title of sandwich artist pro. Now, I have been to many Subway sandwich locations, and I can tell you firsthand that I have had sandwiches made by sandwich artists that did not look like art. In fact, they looked like a train wreck. Never my daughter's, though. Hers were always beautiful. They were always beautiful. I have had sandwiches made by sandwich artist professionals that tasted like they were made by sandwich rookies. Okay? Don't they know what light on the mayo means? But it confirmed to me, really, that their position had pretty much nothing to do with their skill level. It had everything to do that they were given a position, a title. And so it is with positional sanctification. Positional sanctification does not mean that we act perfectly clean, righteous, and holy. It means that we have been given this precious title of sanctified. In fact, the word saint in the Bible comes from that word sanctified. And contrary to what many believe, okay, if you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ for salvation, you are a saint. That is your title. That is your position in Christ. It has nothing to do with our skill level or work. Here are some things that we need to know about positional sanctification. And I think as we go through these things, I think in the back of your mind, you're going to be thanking God for this position, because there's no way that we could have it on our own. Okay, here's some things we need to know about positional sanctification. Number one, it is past tense for believers. It is past tense for believers. Our passage in 1 Corinthians 6 said, you were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. It is past tense for those who have believed in Christ. Secondly, it is adoption into God's family. It is adoption into God's family. Listen to a passage from Ephesians chapter 1, and I'll just read you two verses from there. It says, he chose us in him, talking about in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy sanctified and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. In John chapter 3, Jesus calls it spiritual birth. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So we are adopted, reborn into God's family through this positional sanctification. Thirdly, it is through faith in Christ. Galatians 3:26 says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." John 1:12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name." It is through faith in Christ. Fourthly, it is being declared or deemed righteous and holy. In God's eyes, through our faith in Christ and his payment for our sins, God now sees us in that light. We are declared righteous and holy. Romans 4:5 says, "But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness," sanctified. It is being declared righteous and holy. Number five, it is freedom from sin's penalty. Positional sanctification is freedom from sin's penalty. Romans 8:1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." Ephesians 1:7 says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." If you want to find a positionally sanctified verse of Scripture, oftentimes you will find in that scripture, in Christ, in him. That's our position. Sixth, it is positional sanctification. It is our position in Christ. And I know that sounds redundant, but that is who we are. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, "You are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." Positional sanctification is the position that believers have been graciously given by God. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals. These are all titles. Nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you are washed. You are sanctified. You are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. That is our title. That is who we are in Christ. That is positional sanctification. And that is the first tense of the word. The second tense of the word is progressive sanctification. Progressive sanctification. Now, what we're going to continue on looking at in 1 Thessalonians, when we get back to it, Lord willing, next week, revolves around this progressive sanctification. And I just wanted to give you this background so you can better understand what we are and what we aren't talking about when we get there next week. But here is progressive sanctification. It is what we do in Christ. Progressive sanctification is what we do in Christ. It is growing more and more into the likeness of him. Turn to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, if you will. Colossians chapter 1. Just a little bit farther back there, Bonnie. You're getting there. It's a little book. It's hard to find. That's okay. If you can't find it, you can just listen. You will get the gist of it. Colossians chapter 1, look at verses 9 through 12. He says, "For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Verse 10 says, "That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light." Progressive sanctification is our growing more and more in the likeness of Christ. And it all revolves really around our pleasing God, our expression of love in return to God for what he has done for us. And again, it is our growing more and more in the likeness of Christ. Pablo Casellas, anybody recognize that name? Probably because I'm pronouncing it wrong. But am I pronouncing it wrong?
A little.
Okay, all right. So, all right. He was considered probably the preeminent cellist during the first half of the 20th century, and considered by many to be the greatest cellist, really, that has ever lived. When he was still playing his cello in the middle of his 10th decade of life, a young reporter who had heard about his accomplishments asked him, "Mr. Casellas, you're 95 years old. You are the greatest cellist that ever lived, and I have heard that you still play today. In fact, I have heard that you still practice 6 hours every day. Why?" Mr. Casellas answered, he says, "Because I think I'm making progress. I think I'm getting better at it." As long as he was alive, he desired to improve. Progressive sanctification is our growing more and more into the likeness of Christ, improving. It is, as that Philippians 2:12 passage that I read earlier, it is working out our salvation with fear and trembling. While we have been declared clean, righteous, and holy, while God sees us in that light because of the sin-cleansing power of Jesus' blood, the fact remains that we are still sinners who sin. And therefore, to live a sanctified life is a daily endeavor. Here are some things we need to know about progressive sanctification. Number one, it is present tense for the believer. It is present tense for the believer, meaning it is something that we deal with on a daily basis and will do so until we die. Oftentimes, as we find the word walk, okay, in the scriptures, it is referring to our making our way through our daily lives, making our way moment after moment. In fact, verse 10 in Colossians said that you may walk worthy of the Lord. Progressive sanctification is present tense for believers. Secondly, it is done for God's pleasure. It is done for God's pleasure. Verse 10 again says that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him. It is reasonable that since God has forgiven our sins and adopted us into his family, freeing us from the penalty of sin, that we should now live our life in a manner that pleases him. A manner that expresses our love to him in return for what he has done for us. Progressive sanctification is done for God's pleasure. Thirdly, it is through submission to the Spirit. Progressive sanctification is through submission to the Spirit. In fact, look at verse 11 in Colossians 1 there. It says, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. It is by his power that we are able to live a life that pleases him. In Romans 12, 1, Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to him, which is your reasonable service. Galatians 5, 16, Paul says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. It is through submission to the Spirit. Fourthly, it is being, progressive sanctification is being decisively clean, righteous, and holy. In Romans 6:16, it says, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey, whether sin leading to death, or obedience leading to righteousness. Progressive sanctification is being decisively clean, righteous, and holy. And I'll just tell you, I'm really excited about where we're going to be going next week in 1 Thessalonians, because I think what we're going to be looking at are some things that we all deal with, perhaps on a daily basis. And we're going to learn some good things there, but progressive sanctification is being decisively clean, righteous, and holy. Fifth, it is freedom from sin's power. It is actually having available to us the freedom to say no to sin. It is freedom from sin's power. Romans 6:22 says, but now having been set free from sin, you have become slaves or servants of God. You have your fruit to holiness. Because of the Holy Spirit indwelling each believer, we now have the power within us. We didn't have it before, but now through faith in Christ, not only are we positionally sanctified, but we have the power to progress in our sanctification. We have available to us the freedom from sin's power. And then sixth, progressive sanctification is our progress in Christ. It is what we do in Christ. 2 Peter 3:18 says, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our growing, our desiring, our submitting to the Spirit and growing more and more in his likeness. That you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. That is progressive sanctification. It has absolutely no bearing on our position in Christ, but has everything to do with our living lives that please him. Living in accord with his will for us. Doing those things that he wants us to do, not doing those things that he doesn't want us to do. Positional sanctification is who we are in Christ. Progressive sanctification is what we do in Christ. And then the final tense of the word is perfect sanctification. Perfect sanctification is what we inherit in Christ. Perfect sanctification is what we inherit in Christ. Upon being positionally sanctified, we are actually promised perfection later on. Okay? And like positional sanctification, it too has absolutely nothing to do with our progress. Remember, our progress is living lives that please God. Okay? The perfect sanctification is our promised inheritance because we are God's children. Now, I don't know about you, but I, in some areas of life, consider myself to be a perfectionist. But I have found that to really mean is that I am never satisfied with the imperfections in the project I'm doing. I always have them no matter how hard I try. And then when it's complete, I make it my goal to point out all of those imperfections to anyone who sees the project. All right? That's what a perfectionist is. That's what a perfectionist is, all right? A perfectionist is anything, everything but perfect. And I'll just tell you, this illustration is a great example. Because this was not my illustration as of this morning. I had a completely different illustration in there, and all week long it just bugged me, and it bugged me, and it bugged me. So I changed it and told you the story I just told you, and now I'm telling you. Because I'm a perfectionist, right? And I'm still really not happy with it. While imperfection is a constant in this life, because of Christ, because of our faith in Christ, we will one day truly be perfected. Is that incredible? Especially for those of you that are perfectionists, isn't that remarkable? Isn't that, there will come a day because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ where we will actually be perfect. Perfect. Perfect sanctification is what we inherit, will inherit in Christ. Let's read about our inheritance. Turn to 1 Peter. If you found Colossians, just go to a few more. Go back in your Bible toward the end. Yeah, past Hebrews, past James, 1 Peter chapter 1. Let me read to you verses 3 through 5. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved for you in heaven, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Upon being positionally sanctified, that is being born into God's family through faith in him, we are promised a future perfection, a future sanctification. And unlike worldly inheritances, our inheritance is going to be incorruptible, undefiled, and never fade away. And it's in the presence of God in heaven. Pure and perfect sanctification. And again, like positional sanctification, it has absolutely nothing to do with our progress. It is a promise from God simply because we are his children. Here are some things we need to know about perfect sanctification. Number one, it is future tense for believers. At least those who still walk the earth. Okay, those believers who have died, they're experiencing that right now. But it is future tense for believers, those who still walk the earth. It is reserved and ready for you, for us, when we depart this earth. Listen to John 14. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. It is future tense for believers today. Secondly, it is being in God's heaven. That is what perfect sanctification is. It is being in God's heaven. In 2 Corinthians 5:8, it says, "We are confident, yes, well pleased rather, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord." It is being in God's heaven. Thirdly, it is through the power of God. 1 Corinthians 6:14 says, "God both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his power." So it is future tense for believers. It is being in God's heaven. It is through God's power. Fourthly, it is being perfectly clean, righteous, and holy. Wow. Isn't that great news for us perfectionists, right? Being clean, righteous, and holy. And in Matthew 5:48, Jesus said, "Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect." If you're wondering about the degree of perfection, there are no degrees of perfection. All right? But listen to this. 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Not the righteousness of Craig. The righteousness of God. That's how perfect, okay? And again, there are no degrees of perfection. Perfect is perfect, and we will be it when we get there. Ephesians 5:27 says, "That he might present her," and he's actually talking about you and I who have trusted in Christ, "that he might present her to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish." As I preached this in the first sermon, an elderly gentleman came by and said, "I like the part of no wrinkles." Without wrinkle, right? No blemishes. It is being perfectly clean, righteous, and holy. In fact, Romans 8:29 says, "We will be conformed to the image of his Son." It is being perfectly clean, righteous, and holy. Fifth, it is freedom from sin's presence. Freedom from sin's presence. Sin cannot be in heaven. If you went looking for sin in heaven, you couldn't find it. That is incredible. Our position in Christ made us free from sin's penalty. Our progress in Christ is due to the fact that he freed us from sin's power. But now our perfection in Christ even frees us from sin's presence. It won't be there. Sin will no longer be part of our life in heaven. Perfect sanctification is freedom from sin completely. And then sixthly, that's not a word I know, but it is our perfection in Christ. Perfect sanctification is our perfection in Christ. Notice that Jesus Christ is central in everything that we've looked at today. It is what we inherit, this perfected sanctification. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved for you in heaven, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Perfect sanctification is a promise from God to all who have trusted in his Son. Now, we have seen the three tenses or types, if you will, of this sanctification and how it's used in Scripture this morning. Positional, progressive, and perfect sanctification. And without recognizing these distinctions, and being clean, righteous, and holy, it could be easy for us to become confused as we read Scripture. We might look at a passage that is talking about our progress and think we need to earn something with God, okay? Or we might look at a passage that is describing our position and perfection and feel like we don't need to please God with our lives. But that's not the case. That's why we're looking at these distinctions. One word, one meaning, three different tenses, and they're very critical to us. And I pray that this has not only been helpful for us in knowing how to make that distinction when we see them in Scripture, but I pray that looking at what we have looked at this morning, the sanctification that God is providing for us, that we have grown just a bit more in love with our God this morning. Looking at what He has done, I pray that we would not only recognize the privilege that we have in our position, in our future perfection, but we would love Him so much that we would change, that we would transform in our lives, truly expressing our love to Him in return through it. When I first learned this lesson about these tenses of sanctification, I was tested on it. So I think it's only fair that I should test you now. So here it is. Are you ready? Let me give you a little review first, and then we're going to look at a passage of Scripture, and I'm going to test you. Here's the review. Positional sanctification is who we are in Christ. We are His children, saved from the penalty of sin. Okay, that's positional sanctification. It is who we are in Christ. Progressive sanctification is what we do in Christ. It is pleasing Him, honoring the one who saved us. Perfect sanctification is what we inherit in Christ. Eternal life in God's perfect presence. Turn to 1 John chapter 3. If you're in 1 Peter, you just got to go one more book back to, or two more books back toward the end of your Bible there. 1 John chapter 3, and I'm going to read you three verses of Scripture, one at a time. And after I read each one, I want you to tell me, is this positional, progressive, or perfect sanctification? Here we go. You ready? Verse 1. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Positional sanctification. Very good. Very good. Verse 2, Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Perfect, very good. Okay, the last one, you better get this right. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Progress. Progressive sanctification. A plus. Very good. Let's close in prayer. Lord God, we do thank You for Your word to us, and even the fact that we can look at a word like sanctification, seeing that it speaks of something that is clean, pure, righteous, holy. And Lord, spend a morning looking at how You've provided for us in it. Lord, I pray that as we read Your word and learn that You have called us Your children, that You have deemed us to be righteous, perfect, holy, through faith in Your Son, Lord, that we look at our future perfection and know that there will come a day when sin won't even be part of our vocabulary. that right now, right here and right now, that we might express our love to you in return by living a life that is pleasing to you, by weeding out those things in our life, whatever it is, Lord, whatever sinful thing it is, whatever it is that would be displeasing to you, that we would weed those things out of our lives as we yield to the Spirit and live lives doing things, Lord, that would truly please you. Lord, we do thank you for who you are. We thank you for the gift of your Son. We thank you for our position, our future perfection. And I pray, Lord, that right now, in the present, we would desire, that we would love to just progress into your likeness. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
We have a closing song to sing.